It's Food Friday. Trying out new recipes is great, but it can be easy to get scared off by the time commitment or the thought of a messy kitchen with lots of cleanup. Our guest this week says there are ways to save time, cut down on that cleanup, and most importantly, have fun while still cooking up something delicious. Yasmin Farr is a food writer whose work has appeared in a number of publications. Her new cookbook is Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. Yasmin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
What got you focused in on, you know, keeping it easy, keeping it simple, and keeping that cleanup down?
So the book is inspired by a recipe column I used to do for Serious Eats. And so it was a one-pot dinner column. And so at the time that I was doing it, I was also a hotel and restaurant inspector. So I was traveling around the world for 2 to 3 weeks of every month. And so when I came home to write the column, I was like, okay, I want to make something that's easy enough to do because I'm super tired, but it's also kind of good for me because I've been traveling and eating out so much. And so that's the same approach I use for the book, because I think even if we're not traveling a lot, we all lead really busy lives but want to make good, delicious food that doesn't take a lot of work or effort. So that's my goal with the book.
And another goal, it's not just the simple, you want to have fun while you cook, and
yeah.
You want us to, too. Can you talk about that fun attitude you try to bring into it?
Yeah, I mean, I think cooking is really fun, and I want to kind of take the stress out of it and the worry. And I think, you know, having a lot of dishes to clean up, having to find recipes that inspire you, that are kind of good for you but interesting, can be difficult. So I really wanted the tone of the book to be exciting, positive, encouraging. So there's lots of little, like, notes in there, essays, kind of talk about my life in food, maybe some embarrassing stories, you know, probably oversharing. But I really wanted to get people excited by it. And, you know, I really love it.
So. You've got a unique piece of kitchen equipment on your list, a hula hoop.
Yeah. So a lot of times when things are, you know, simmering or in the oven, I have a hula hoop that I use just to kind of pass the time. And it's a good way to get some exercise in. And it's really fun. So I want people to do whatever makes them happy during this downtime.
Now, another thing you do is you include something you call kind of efficiency moves in a lot of your recipes to help people save time and to plan on that time saving. What kind of things do you look for?
Yeah, I love that you picked up on that. It's one of my favorite parts about the book. Because I think a lot of times home cooks get, when you're making a recipe for the first time, you can be kind of overwhelmed about where to start and what to do. So you'll find tips for what to do during downtime, whether that's cleaning and picking herbs for the garnish, clean up the kitchen, pour yourself a glass of wine. It's really meant to be a guide for how to approach the recipe to take that kind of anxiety and worry out of it.
Talking to Yasmin Farr. Her new book is Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. You can join the Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. If you've got a favorite recipe that you can make in just one pan, pot, baking dish, you name it. Yasmin, let's get into some of the recipes you shared with us. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got a meatball one. We'll get into that in a minute. But I want to get into something else. You really like meatballs, if I'm reading your book right.
I do. Yes, I love meatballs. Yeah, I've basically been obsessed with them for a really long time. Like, there's a restaurant in New York, Little Owl, that has these amazing gravy meatball sliders that are super flavorful with this, like, spicy tomato sauce. So basically, there's an essay in the book where I talk about how much I love meatballs and how, you know, I may have overdone it with meatballs at this food. And, a little embarrassing and probably one of those, like, TMI situations, but really meant,
we appreciate,
you know,
your honesty.
Thank you. I'm now, glad to hear it.
Now, the one you shared with us, this looks great. It's a baked chicken and ricotta meatballs. Can you talk about what goes into this and how it comes together?
Yeah, it's really simple. So for the weeknight, I wanted something a little lighter. So I used chicken and there's ricotta in there. And that really gives kind of like a creamy, light texture to it all. And then you add panko breadcrumbs as well as some like chili flakes and garlic and then parsley. And then you bake it in the oven with broccolini and lemon. And so it's just really bright, but also balanced dish that has some green in it, and you finish it with lemon as well as a little bit extra cheese because, you know, that never hurts. So it's a nice for a weeknight dinner, and all goes on a sheet pan in the oven.
And I'm looking at the picture right now, and it just looks, you know, not complicated, but really pretty with the meatballs and the broccoli together. Do you try to get some visual appeal in there too?
Yeah, I think that always helps. I mean, you know, with this, like, Instagram, we're in a very visual world right now. So I think making food that's beautiful, has a balance of colors and textures, It's a great way for people to feel kind of accomplished on the weeknight. You know, I made this really easy but beautiful dish, so you're kind of winning.
And now I've had good luck making meatballs, like in pan frying them. When I bake them, I don't know, they lose their spherical nature and kind of flip out. Any notions on what I'm doing wrong there? Or if maybe I just need to follow recipes closer. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think, you know, that can happen. And as long as it tastes good, I think that's not a problem.
Okay.
But a lot of times I try to make them smaller than a meatball so they don't, than a golf ball so they don't fall apart. So if you put a little bit of water in your hand and then roll it, but don't make it like super tight, but also packed together and a little smaller than a golf ball for it to cook evenly. So that's usually a good size. Maybe they're too big. Not sure.
That might have been my mistake. Yeah, definitely. I do like the ground chicken in meatballs. And that reminds me, you've got a section up front on substituting proteins. You know, we're making the dish, but we want whatever, chicken instead of beef, tofu instead of chicken, whatever. What do we need to think about, though, when we're subbing in like that?
I think for that, you want to look at the cooking times, how long they take. But as you said, like a lot of in the book, there's little notes of what swap outs will work and then what time to add them in. So, for example, you know, shrimp and fish will need like about 4 minutes to add. But if you're using leftover chicken, really only need a couple of minutes for it to warm up because it's already cooked. But like in the salad for dinner section, you can swap out all those proteins because they all have separate cooking instructions. So I think, you know, if you've eaten like shrimp the night before, you don't want it, you can make a really quick chicken and put it on top of a salad. So
another thing I love about the book, and this is for, and I'm thinking back to my earlier days of cooking, you actually define things like, you know, what a simmer or a boil is, or here, let's do this one, stirring occasionally versus stirring frequently. Because I'm like, those can mean a lot of different things. How do we separate out how often to stir?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times, like cookbook writers, you know, myself included, use this lingo, and people may not know what it is. And so, for stirring frequently, I say it's about every 30 seconds or so. But you're really standing on top of the pan, you know, with a wooden spoon in hand or whatever you're using. But stirring occasionally, you know, you can step back for a second, check your phone, you know, upload a photo. But it's really stirring every minute or so.
Use the hula hoop.
A little more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, use your hula hoop, whatever you want.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Russ is with us in Monroe. Russ, hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you have for us, Russ?
Well, braising meats in wine and stock is like one of the classic one-top meals of all time. If you take a piece of virtually any meat, but beef is always the best, and brown it in a pan, put it in a pot with some wine, some stock, maybe some herbs, you can add any vegetables, and let that go, there's a magical thing that happens when it cooks with the wine. It creates its own gravy, but it changes flavor completely, and is just, in my opinion, one of the greatest meals of all time.
Russ, it sounds awesome. Oh, go ahead, Yasmin.
No, I'm sorry. That was so beautiful. I love the way you describe it. You're 100% right. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite recipes kind of in that neighborhood of a braised meat one-pot meal, Yasmin?
Well, I do some braised chicken breasts like in the soup, but I want everything to be around 30 minutes or less, so nothing is going to be a big cut of meat. Mm. But I do have like a tomato poached cod, which I think may be on your website. And that's really just cooked in kind of like a loose tomato sauce. And so it's cooked really gently, but again, you know, it tastes much more impressive than it actually is. And so it's a really flavorful dish with lots of garlic and herbs, so it's nice.
Yeah, that's thanks for that call, Russ. We've got that tomato poached cod with herbs at WPR.org/FoodFriday. I'm flipping open to the recipe now. Now, you say this is one that looks to the guest more impressive than it was to cook?
Yeah, which I think is always nice because it looks kind of fancy and delicate, you know, and fish. But then it's actually super easy. You don't really have to do a lot. It's one pot. And like Russ was saying, you kind of put everything in there and let the ingredients do the work for you.
Now, this cooks up pretty quickly as fish does. And I got to say, that's my fear of cooking fish is that I'm going to overcook it. How do I make sure I don't overcook the cod, say, in this recipe or my fish in general?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's great about using liquid to cook it is that won't happen as quickly as it would if you were cooking straight on a pan. So you have it's a little more forgiving, but I would just touch the edges of it. And so once it starts to flake off really easily without resistance, that's the time it's ready.
Fantastic. We're talking to Yasmin Farr, food writer, author of the new book, Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What meals do you make when you want something delicious without sinking a whole night into cooking? What do you do in the kitchen to make things quicker and cut down on cleanup? Do you have a favorite one pot meal that, yeah, I don't want to do a lot of cleanup after I cook. You get it all in one pot or baking dish or whatever. And what's your favorite meatball? If our guest hasn't tried it, she'll want to. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And remember, find some recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday conversation with Yasmin Farr, author of the book Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to meal when you want maximum impact for minimal effort? Are there simple dishes you make that impress people you share them with? Do you have some efficiency moves you have that cut down on time and cleanup? And how do you make sure to keep cooking fun? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to your calls now. Kit is with us in Cedarburg. Kit, hello.
Hi. My favorite one-pot meal is you get a corned beef, and you put it on in the morning. And then about an hour before you eat, you throw in some red potatoes. Before that, you put in some onions and some celery and carrots. And then you put in cabbage about 20 minutes before. And then I serve it with rye bread and horseradish. It's
fantastic. Kit, I should ask you, you're talking about a crock pot here, it sounds like.
No, I just boil it on the stove.
Oh, okay. Oh, in the morning and you're boiling it all day? Okay, so it takes a little more premeditation than that half hour you're looking for, Yasmin, but it sounds like a great use of one pot there.
Yeah, definitely. I love the horseradish and rye. That's great.
Yeah, that's so just because you're making everything in one pot doesn't mean you can't have something fun on the side of it. Do you have, like, favorite, Yasmin, quick little sides or garnishes or things like that you use to jazz up that thing you cooked as a one-pot meal?
Yeah, a lot of them I serve like a crusty bread, which I think is great. You can put a little olive oil and nice salt on it, especially ones that have sauces like that tomato poached cod. Just to soak everything up with that is so great. Yeah, that's usually what I do.
Kit, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. You've shared one more recipe with us. I want to get to a weeknight curry. And curries, yeah, I think that's something you might want to cook for a really long time. You have this one clocking in at about 20 minutes. How does that pull together so fast?
Yeah, so this recipe is in the chapter Faster Than Delivery. And so in this one, well, actually throughout the book, I use a lot of condiments and paste to really do the work for you. So for this recipe, we use a Thai curry paste. So I used a red one, but you can use green. And it already has like lemongrass, chilies, ginger, and garlic. So we use fresh ginger, garlic to kind of amp up all of those flavors and kind of bring them out. And then you add coconut milk, which is super delicious and creamy, and then just fresh vegetables like snow peas, but there's swap outs like mushrooms or other things if you don't want that. And you finish it with shrimp and then rice noodles just cook on the side. So you add them in at the very end, and it's this like very quick, very flavorful meal that uses that condiment of a curry paste to do the work for you, which is great.
And I love meals like this where, as you say, it's pretty easy to substitute in vegetables.
Yeah.
When you're doing soups or stews or curries, you don't have X, probably Y is going to work okay.
Exactly. And I think it's one of these things that people can learn this basic technique and then really make it their own. They can, you know, change it up however they want. And I really loved – that was kind of the goal of the book, is to give people these tools. Like, you'll learn to do this and then you can kind of run with it and do whatever you want.
And another thing I love is that you absolve us of any guilt we feel for using some prepared ingredients. We don't have to make our own curry paste. We can buy a packaged pizza dough, that kind of thing. I've been through points in my cooking life. It's like, no, that's cheating. I got to do everything. And then, you know, kids.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
exactly.
Shortcuts are great.
Right. And it's like, I think people make really great products now. We're really lucky to be able to buy them. And like, yes, I would love to be grinding my own chilies and making these beautiful curry paste. But like, that's not the reality of my life most of the time. So I think it's totally okay. You do what you have to do to make it work.
Now, do you have, and I have this sometimes, kind of like, you know, a split approach to cooking. There's that weeknight where you want something on the table in under a half an hour. And then, hey, I've got this weekend and somehow there's nothing going on tonight. And then maybe you do something fancier and more time consuming.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I love having people over, like having friends. So making, whether it's like a roast chicken and then a pasta and then a bunch of sides. I think like the weekends are when, like you're saying, you can really kind of luxuriate in the cooking process. Whereas during the weeknight, it's more of a necessity, but you also still want to make it fun and enjoyable and good for you. So I think the book is meant to really cater to that weeknight need.
We are talking to Yasmin Farr. Her new cookbook is called Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. You can join the conversation at 800-642-123 on this edition of Food Friday. If you have a favorite go-to one-pot recipe, something that you make when time is of the essence, something that takes maybe 30 minutes or less, you can call in at 800-642-1234 or get some advice from our guest. Now, if you've got some suggestions, I'm always looking for things like this. When that meal needs something, you know, that one flavor that it's that's going to put it over the edge. What are the kind of things you reach for when it needs that one little something?
Yeah, well, I think that's actually a great question. I think a lot of dishes, when you're tasting at the end, they can feel sort of unbalanced and like something's missing. You're like, but what is it? And I think the go-to people do is usually salt, but actually acid, whether it's like a vinegar or lemon, is really that kind of finishing balancing touch that'll really bring out the flavor. So I would always say, you know, depending on what the dish is, finishing it with some lemon, lime, different vinegars really can help balance it out. And then I would taste it again and then see if it needs more salt. But I also love using like fresh herbs or things like that to really brighten up a dish and, you know, elevate it. And it makes it feel like a little more alive and green. So I think those things can be really helpful.
Yeah, I've slowly learned over many years like that bit of acid at the end, or as you just said, something green, like a green flavor, if that makes any sense. That's like in second place for me behind an acid for that one last thing to add.
Yeah, you stir in like spinach because it wilts really quickly, or kale. Like some of those things I think can really just like boost a dish and also give it more substance too. So.
And you are a big fan of feta cheese as a key flavor in your cooking. Talk about why you love that so much.
Yeah, so there's an essay called I Have a Thing for Feta, and I often get called out. Like, if you look at some of my recipes, people are like, if I don't include feta in a dish, they're like, Yasmin, wait, where's the feta? So I definitely am known for this. But yeah, I grew up eating Bulgarian feta, and I think it's just creamy. It has a sort of tang to it, and it's a great way to finish dishes to have that extra texture and like creamy layer without the heaviness of it. And so I actually prefer Bulgarian feta in the brine to Greek feta, which I think is the typical one. And I think a lot of times when you go to supermarkets, you see these Greek fetas and these like cryovac packages, and they're kind of cakey and dry. So I think if you can't find Bulgarian, I would definitely look for something in that brine, which is that like cloudy, murky liquid it's sitting in, because that'll keep it really kind of moist and flavorful.
Now, you've got one of the most specific, helpful tips at the beginning of the book, how to crumble feta. Talk us through that. How do we get a good feta crumble on?
Yeah, so this is obviously going to come in handy for this book. So I would take a block of feta, and then I take a fork, and I think the way I scribe in the book is kind of like you're clearing rubble from like the ground from the street. So you just kind of move into the block like you're knocking down a building, and then use the fork to kind of crumble it that way. And it's really easy. I mean, you can always use your hands, but I find you still miss sort of chunks, and then it's like massive chunks of feta, which, you know, isn't bad either, but the fork thing really works for me. And I just do it on a cutting board so you can scrape it right in.
Now let's talk for a moment to that that new cook, maybe somebody who's moving out on their own for the first time, setting up their own kitchen. What kind of pots and pans and baking dishes, what are a couple of the key things that you just find yourself going to again and again that you'd recommend that, you know, that starter cook definitely has handy?
Yeah, and I really don't think you need a lot. Like in this book, what I recommend, and I think for, you know, new cooks as well, you don't need too much. Like I love a cast iron pan just because they're, you know, durable. They're not super expensive if you season them, which honestly isn't as hard as I feel like it sounds. It's really easy. You just don't want to let them sit in water in the sink, but they can be used for so many things. You can also use them in the oven and the stovetop. So they're fantastic. And I do love a Dutch oven, which is a little more expensive, but they are also fantastic and they're beautiful. You can like serve in them. So maybe ask for that as like a wedding gift, holiday present kind of thing. And I love my microplane. So I use that in a ton of things. I like it better than a box grater because the teeth are a little sharper. So you can grate garlic really quickly, ginger, you know, obviously lemon zest, Parmesan. If you want to make like a wintry boozy cocktail, you could do cinnamon or chocolate or nutmeg on top. So they're, again, not very expensive, super helpful and useful in the kitchen. Yeah, and then some wooden spoons, and you really don't need a lot. Oh, and a sheet pan. Sorry, maybe right. A little more than I said. But yeah, sheet pan is really helpful. And there's a whole chapter in the book that's all sheet pan recipes. And those, again, aren't also that expensive. So, and you can store them in your oven, which is what I do.
All right, can you leave us with some inspiration now for the person? And I'm there sometimes. You know, you get home from work and you want to push the super easy button and just call takeout or, you know, peanut butter on an apple or something like that. Give us a little inspiration to maybe try cooking a little something.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there too. And if you need to do that, do that. No judgment. But I would say the like faster than livery section or making a sheet pan dinner is really wonderful because you basically just heat up the oven. And by the time it's like heated up, you're ready to go. You have all the ingredients on the sheet pan. You just put it in the oven and then you're done. You know, you just wait for it to cook and it's this like wonderful meal. Like I have a roast halibut with lemons and tomatoes and this kind of green herb sauce. And that comes together in 20 minutes. So you've just made this healthy, beautiful, delicious meal with like very minimal effort on your part. So I feel like that's pretty great.
Yasmin, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yasmin Farah is a food writer, author of the book we've been talking about. It's called Keeping It Simple, Easy Weeknight One-Pot Recipes. You can find a few of those recipes that she shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got that weeknight curry, baked chicken and ricotta meatballs, and then the tomato poached cod with herbs. All great weekday, or heck, make them on the weekend if you want.